Please share the word of God with us.
Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
I'm trying to look at the faces, whether they are surprised that I'm sharing. No? Okay, so let me report my family to you first before we start. So last night I told them as usual that, so that they would say I didn't tell them I would be sharing today. I said, I'll be sharing today. They said, why? I'm like, what do you mean by why? They said, but you're not a pastor now. I said, I know I'm not a pastor, but I've shared before. They said, but it was because Brother Wale wasn't around and Brother Abumi. I said, okay, it's all right. I'm a backup sharer. So today I'll be the one sharing with you, okay? But before we go into the word, a quick announcement about Stevens Center. Let me try. So we all remember that we support Stevens Center, right? And after the death, even prior to Brother Isaac passing, they've been having challenges, right? Funds and, you know, other things as well. So after his death, things didn't get better, obviously, and we're still working with them on that. But as of now, we are waiting on them to make a decision on, you know, what's the next steps so that we know how we want to continue to support them or not. So I just want to let you all know, especially those that provide financial support to them, that's the phase we are in right now. And I'm working with Sister Yetunde to get a plan from them and see how we can potentially support them further, you know. So I just want to let you all know about that today. When anything changes, I will let you know probably in the next few weeks when we get concrete feedback from them. Okay, any question? No? Okay, good. Let me see. All right. So I personally love reading the Old Testament for obvious reasons. I like to read about people like me that, you know, their actions and reactions, they are well captured, right? Kind of give complete view of what's going on, right? How God responds to different things. And people like Ahab that wanted to take somebody else's property, right? Like David that wanted to, that scheme to take another person's wife, and how he tried to scheme and how God dealt with them, you know? So I just finished First King and Second Kings, though I've read, you know, them before, obviously, but it's just refreshing to see and be reminded of how God interacted with people, his people, especially their leaders. So today we'll be looking at King Jeroboam. Okay, are we all familiar with King Jeroboam? I know you're all on mute, you can just nod and I will understand that, yeah. All right, thank you, okay. All right, so quick background. We all remember the wise king, King Solomon, right? And all the things he did, right? And I think the major one was the fact that his wives led his heart astray. The same gender that led Adam astray. So and the Lord decided to tear the kingdom from him, right? He said he was going to take 10 tribes and give it, split it, you know. So that the 10 tribes were given over to Jeroboam, right? And if you don't know, let me quickly run through who Jeroboam was. He was one of the officials of Solomon from the tribe of Ephraim. Right? The Bible described him as he was a man in good standing, right? Diligent in his work, okay? And was actually made the minister, secretary of labor for the tribe of Joseph, right? He was described as the one that manages labor and all of those. So I call him minister of labor. So that's Jeroboam. He wasn't in the line. He wasn't like Solomon's son or whatever. Right? He was just a diligent man. So let's open our Bibles to 1 Kings 11. Let me, I think it's better for me to share the screen on that one. Quickly bring up my screen. Sorry, give me a sec. Okay. So we'll read me see. Sorry, it's not easy combining different screens together. So we're reading 1 Kings 11, 29 to 39. Okay, let me go to 29. All right, can you all see my screen?
Yes.
1 Kings 11. Oh, sorry, I was in 12. Technology is not always reliable. I'm sorry. All right. 1 Kings 11, verses 29 to 39. About that time, Jeroboam was going out of Jerusalem, and Ahijah, the prophet in Shiloh, met him on the way, wearing a new cloak. The two of them were alone out in the country, and Ahijah took hold of the new cloak he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. Then he said to Jeroboam, "Take 10 pieces for yourself, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. See, I am going to tear the kingdom out of Solomon's hand and give you 10 tribes. But for the sake of my servant David and the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, he will have one tribe. I will do this because they have forsaken me and worshiped Ashtoreth, the goddess of Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moabites, and Molech, the god of Ammonites, and have not walked in obedience to me, nor done what is right in my eyes, nor kept my decrees and laws as David, Solomon's father, did. But I will not take the whole kingdom out of Solomon's hand. I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of David, my servant, whom I chose and who obeyed my commands and decrees. I will take the kingdom from his son's hand and give you 10 tribes. I will give one tribe to his son, so that David, my servant, may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city where I chose to put my name. However, as for you, I will take you and you will rule over all that your heart desires. You will be king over Israel. If you do whatever I command you and walk in obedience to me, and do what is right in my eyes by obeying my decrees and commands, as David, my servant, did, I will be with you. I will build you a dynasty as enduring as one I built for David, and will give you Israel, and will give Israel to you. I will humble David's descendants because of you, but not forever." So we all, based on what we just read right now, we saw how the Lord decided to take somebody that ideally wasn't in the line and bless him, put him in a position of responsibility. I don't know what you want to call grace, if not that, right? You know, God said he will rule over all your desires, right? He gave him that blank check, right? You will be king over Israel. He was just a regular employee of the king, right? He says, if you walk in my way, I will be with you, right? He says, he will build a dynasty as enduring as David's. And last, he said, I will give Israel to you. That sounds like grace to me. What you did not work for, what you do not even merit at all, right? Giving that to somebody, right? And always, you know that Old Testament is always like a shadow of the new, right? Just look at it this way. Just all of us as well. Dead in our trespasses. We are not part of the chosen Israel, right? But guess what? We are not grafted members, right? We've not been grafted into God's family, right? Grace, right? And so this man, obviously, it's a good thing. It was a good thing for him, obviously. So also, even looking at it from the physical perspective, just look at it this way. You're working hard somewhere, or you're just a good employee, and somebody decides to bless you with more responsibility, and you know, your course expands, so to speak, right? So let's look at how Brother Jeroboam conducted himself, right? So as God said, right, he obviously, like we just read, he took the 10 tribes and gave it to Jeroboam as king. You know, as he said, the second kings. And two major things were said in that passage we just read, right? God told through the prophet that I will do these things. I will take this away and do this, right? I will take the kingdom away from, you know, the 10 tribes, and also gave him condition for success, right? So God did the first one, right? He did tour the kingdom, right? The path, and he gave him the condition. He says, if you obey me and not worship idols, right? I will make you great. Maybe not great again, but great, you know. So it's going to make him great, which is so. Out of two things, one came to pass. Ideally, logically, right? If somebody told you two things and one came to pass right away, I believe that the person should expect the second one to come to pass too, right? I mean, logic, right? Let's follow. But not Jeroboam. So what did Jeroboam do? Let's look at how he conducted himself. As customary with men, right? When things change, when level changes, you know, Jeroboam's level has changed at this point, right? He's no more ordinary secretary, he's the king, and level has changed. So men, they start doing what? Strategizing. Let's read 1 Kings 12 verse 26. 1 Kings 12. Let's see what Jeroboam did. 1 Kings 12. Are you there? Let me quickly read this. It says, then King Jeroboam consulted. So there's some time. So let me step back a little bit there. Let me start from verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem for all Israel. For all Israel had gone there to make him king. That's on the other side now, Judah. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had this, he was still in Egypt when he had fled from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. So they sent for Jeroboam. And he and the whole assembly of Israel went to Rehoboam and said to him, your father put a heavy yoke on us, but now lighten the ash labor and heavy yoke he put on us, and he will serve you. Rehoboam answered, go away for 3 days and then come back to me. So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who had served his father Solomon during his lifetime. How would you advise me to answer this people? He said. They replied, if today you be a servant to these people and serve them and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your servant. Oh, sorry, I think I'm reading the wrong. Sorry. I think I'm reading the wrong verse here. Let me quickly check this. Sorry, give me a second. Okay, let's go to verse 25 downwards. Then Jeroboam fortified Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there, for there he went out and built up Peniel. Now Jeroboam thought to himself, the kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to King Rehoboam. After seeking advice, the king made two golden calves. He said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. One is set up in Bethel and the other in Dan. And this thing became a sin. The people came to worship the one in Bethel and went as far as Dan to worship the other. Jeroboam built shrines on high places appointed priests from all sorts of people, even though they were not Levites. Okay? This he did in Bethel, sacrificing the cows he had made, and at Bethel, he also installed priests at the high places. Right? So, what did Jeroboam do? So Jeroboam, like some of the prior kings as well, right? He decided to start worshiping idols and giving people, taking people from what the Lord has asked them to do, right? The Lord said, I do not want, the sin of idolatry is detestable in my sight, right? That's what Jeroboam did, right? So he also did something. If you notice verse 28, 1 Kings 12, right? He said, it's too much to go up to Jerusalem. Let's have a place of worship around Bethel and Dan. And he said to them, here are your gods that brought you up from the land of Egypt. Now, anyone that wants to get lost, in Yoruba they say, the dog that will get lost will not hear the whistle of the hunter. Jeroboam wanted advice. And what did he do? He sought advice, actually. And the advice that was given to him was, we don't know who gave him the advice, but they just said he sought advice. And at the end of the day, what did he do? He said, we're going to erect two temples, satellite temples, right? They will not go to Jerusalem anymore. And they will use those satellite temples. Because of what? This man was scared of the fact that this, they may, the people is the king over may end up going back to Rehoboam, the other king. Right? Are we together, right? So he was getting scared of what may happen, right? And in strategizing, what did he do? He said, oh, instead of them going to Jerusalem, I think we should just build two more temples close by in Bethel and Dan, even though he didn't tell them the reason. He just said he didn't want them going far, right? But the reason, I think what we read is that he was scared of the fact that going to Jerusalem may end up him losing to the other king, right? Are we all together? The rationale for his action was clearly described, right? He said it was fear of losing the kingdom because he saw them convenience of worship. Yeah. Whereas the rationale behind what he did was because he was scared of retaining the kingdom, right? So because he wanted to retain the kingdom, what did he do? He clearly went against what the Lord has told him to do, right? The Lord wanted his people to worship him at a particular place, right? He now said, yeah, let's strategize, let's get people closer so that they won't. But whereas the reason was because of his fears. Anyway, so let's read further on that. According to God's, one other thing he also did, according to God's instruction on priesthood, we all know the tribe that is allowed to minister in the presence of God, right? Verse 31 clearly says that. But Jeroboam did what? He started appointing any type, class of people as priests. Verse 31 says, he started sacrificing at his new altar with fake priests. Again, another clear disobedience of God's law. Two things he has done right now. So, do we all remember the story of the young prophet and the old prophet? You all remember that prophet? Okay. So, it was this particular time, right? And even after that encounter with the prophet where his hand was shriveled, right? I'm not going to go into that today. That one is for another day. His hand shriveled and the Lord, it was returned back to normal, all of that. Even at that, King Jeroboam's ways did not change. He still continued to appoint priests from all sorts of people. All they needed to do was to submit their resume. The Bible says those that wanted to be priests, They just indicate their intent, and he will bring them in as priests. It trivialized the work of priests. So the question I have for us today, don't we see similar things in our generation today? We see people appointed to position of leadership, authority in the Church of God. People that are still supposed to be taught. People that are not mature enough or have an idea what it is to lead souls being put in position of authority. This man trivialized the work of priests. The book of Timothy that I'm reading with a few of my brothers talks about how a leader, a bishop, a leader in the church, for example, should be appointed, right? And there are clear instructions on that, right? It's not the same thing as what Jeroboam did, but it's a similar thing, right? The things of God, there are ways the Lord wants them to be done, right? We shouldn't trivialize what the Lord has not trivialized, right? The Lord told them, this is how I want people to, how I want my ministers to conduct themselves amongst my people. Appointed Levites to do this, right? This man clearly violated that because of his own selfish desire of self-preservation of all of those, right? Again, we also want to tie this to our own generation as well, right? Let's always remember that whatever the Lord, no matter how convenient it is, right? Whatever the Lord has given us clear instructions on, is the appointment of deacons, is the appointment of people of in leadership position, there are clear instructions on how to do it. So maybe some of us are probably thinking right now, we've read the story of Jeroboam, how he schemed and he made the children of Israel not do the things of God, not worship the way God wants them to worship, not appointing priests the way they should be appointed. You may be asking, so what? What does that mean for me? Right? What does that mean for a New Testament believer? When the book of Timothy says the Bible, the word of God is for instructions, rebuke, I believe it that every single book in the Bible is for a reason. And there are lessons that we can learn from them. It may not be the same scenario, but the foundation, the fundamentals around them may be similar. Right? The Lord was so furious with Jeroboam. If we read the whole of the Old Testament, there are a lot of places that we say, oh, the sin of Jeroboam that he made Israelites to commit. The Lord is particular about how his people are led. Let me repeat that. The Lord is concerned about how his people are led. We're reading in our Wednesday group where the Lord said, sin is bound to come. I'm paraphrasing now. Sin is bound to come. But woe to him through whom the sin will come. Let's step back. Evil will come. People will go their crazy ways. But do we want to put ourselves as the conduit or the enabler for sin? Right? That's the question, right? I certainly don't want to be in that position. I know you all don't want to be. Hence why we have to be diligent in our ways. The sins of Jeroboam may seem like a sin of the Old Testament, but the same kind of sin still exists today. Two lessons from Jeroboam. Jeroboam relied on man's wisdom.
He wanted to use the schemes of men to maintain the promises of God. God promised him, if you do this, I will do this to you. If you do this, I will make you big. I will make you, I will give Israel over to you. All of those things. But in his fears, he used the schemes of men to maintain the promise of God. The Bible told us clearly the primary reason why he told the people of Israel to not go up to Jerusalem to worship and created a satellite temple for them around Dan and Bethel was because he was scared of losing his dominion over the kingdom. Are you using schemes of men to try to maintain God's grace or his work in your life? I'm sorry, I can't answer that question for you. You have to answer it by yourself. Has God given you a responsibility? And in executing, you see that, fears began to set in. And when you go for counsel or you go for advice, which path are you taking? Are you trying to use schemes? Maybe you haven't heard before. I've heard of cases, for example, where in the desire to maintain a number of attendees in the church, they introduce a scheme where if you bring a new member and they stay for 3 months, we will give you X number of dollars, right? Right? Why are we using the schemes of men to do the work of God? If God has called you to be a shepherd of a local assembly, for example, and maybe you are concerned that the number of people there are not that, why go back using this strategy of Jeroboam to fill the chairs, right? When Jeroboam took his focus off God, he traded in fear, right? He traded in his faith for fear. Jeroboam also did something. The second lesson is this. He made a fundamental shift in worship. Now, the question for us again is this. Are we substituting the instructions of God with convenience? Right? Is that what we're doing? We look at convenience and say, oh, it's convenient to do it this way. Whereas that convenience, you are actually disobeying God's instruction. If you look at the story of Jeroboam, he told the people, say, we'll create satellite campus, satellite temple, just the one close by, so that you don't have to walk long distance to Jerusalem to go and worship. And people, of course, who doesn't like convenience, right? Right? So we have to be very critical of things like this too. When something is convenient doesn't mean you are in alignment. Let me repeat. Convenience, I dare say, most of the time, may actually be in contrary to what we expected to do. So as on this corner, we have the Alagbas and the Omojos. So for the leaders, as you teach, as you lead, let's ensure that we don't fall into the trap of Jeroboam, that same trap of trying to find convenience, teaching our convenience, guidance over instructions of God. Also, the listeners as well. If any MOG tells you not to go to Jerusalem,
and just worshiping Dan. It is our responsibility to be like that Berean, those Berean Christians. Check it. Okay? All right. So my lesson for me now is, as I'm saying this, right, I'm also teaching myself, right? Convenience. That's very critical of that. Replacing or substituting God in our lives with anything, anyone, including men of God, they are all still detestable in the sight of God. I don't care how anointed the person is. You cannot, and we should not, substitute God and use a man, mere man. I had a disturbing news on Saturday about a popular apologist that died recently. And all the things I heard, how can? Because I had this man for a long time, and I don't know if they just concluded that men at best, right? It's the men. So anyway, don't let us substitute God in our lives with anything or anyone, or let anyone do that for us either, right? So let's make sure that we do that. And we have a lot of things like, you know, I'm not focusing on leaders today, but I'm just, for us as Christians, right, that when somebody comes with a revelation, the right reason I'm tying it back to people and the leader is because the sin of Jeroboam, it wasn't only Jeroboam that suffered. It wasn't Jeroboam's family that suffered. People of Israel too, right? So let's try and make sure that in our conduct as believers, as parents, spouses, brothers and sisters in church, there are impact to others in what we do. We may be saying that, oh, Jeroboam, good for him. He messed up, so be it, right? But guess what? His family suffered. Certainly Israel suffered too, right? So in any position of authority, it's a big responsibility. I mentioned the scripture that Christ said the one that causes somebody else to stumble, like, you know, if sin comes to the world through you, all of that, right? That's key. As parents, that's also another responsibility, right? You are given a particular role. Don't let us be in that category of parents that will make our children stumble. The part from this story of Jeroboam that still got kind of enigmatic to me is the fact that at the beginning, remember when Ahijah, the prophet, told him that God will do this for him, right? The interesting thing was that Ahijah told Jeroboam what Solomon did, right? He told Jeroboam what Solomon did, that Solomon's heart was led astray, worshiping idols by his wives and all of them. He told him, and the Lord told him also that because of what Solomon did, this is what I'm going to do to Israel. I'm going to split the punishment, all of us. And God gave him so many promises, right? But Jeroboam still did exactly, at least the outcome is the same, idol worship, what Solomon did. Now, we may be saying that, yeah, silly man. So we are now the opportunity of looking at Solomon, Jeroboam. So we are the ones on focus right now, right? So we also haven't learned what Solomon did, haven't learned what Jeroboam did. So are we also committing the same sin of Jeroboam?
I think we have two scenarios now that we can learn from. Are we substituting God's instruction with convenience? Are we enabling people around us to sin? Are we using the schemes of God to try and maintain the grace of God? Schemes of men to want to maintain the grace of God in our lives. Are we? That's not for me to answer. It's when you are doing your devotion, you answer it by yourself. I can't help you. But that's the question for us, really. It's not really about Jeroboam. We know it's about how are we ensuring that we don't take the things of God with levity. The sin of Jeroboam was doubly tragic in that he had been promised blessings from God, right? If you had just followed the path of David, right? That's what 1 Kings says. If you do whatever I command you and walk in obedience to me and do what is right in my eyes by obeying my decrees and commands as David my servant did, that's what the Bible says. He said, I will build you a dynasty as enduring as the one I built for David, and I will give Israel to you. In turning to calf worship and all the schemes, Jeroboam, what did he do? He spurned God's goodness and brought about his own demise. The Bible says the sin of the house of Jeroboam led to his downfall and to his destruction from the face of the earth. Our promises in Christ are greater than that of Jeroboam. Don't let's follow the ways of Jeroboam. No matter what it is we are going through, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves, Jesus in Matthew 11:28 says, come to me. He's calling us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. That's the Lord Jesus. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm what? I am gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is light. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for another time in your presence. Thank you for reminding us this morning that your yoke is easy, but it is light. In our walk with you, Lord, we pray for wisdom. Your word says, he that lacks wisdom, to reach out to you. You that are able to give generously without reproach. We pray that we will not fall into the same sin like Jeroboam did, Lord, using the wisdom of men, schemes of men, to advance, to do your will. We pray, Lord Almighty, that as we've learned this morning as well, that we will not substitute convenience. Do not put convenience over your instruction. We pray for your grace in these areas. You know that as men, we have our own challenges, but those that put their trust in you shall never be put to shame. Lord, as a community this morning, Lord, we put our trust in you. Pray, Lord Almighty, that will not be put to shame, Lord. Thank you, Father, in heaven. In Jesus' name, I pray.